IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shooting Space, my podcast where I talk about lacrosse, all things happening within the game, outside the game, what's affecting the game. I'm so excited because today I've got Amari Pollard, my bestie and co-host of Sound On, Mataria and Amari for ESPN. She's here with me on the pod and we're going to talk about hashtag ACC Madness.
Tari, first, thank you for having me back. It's been a minute since I've been on the podcast with you. I don't even have proper words to describe this season. I feel like I haven't been able to fully absorb what has been happening.
Yeah. No, I feel you. And what's so interesting, obviously you and I watch a lot of lacrosse, talk a lot about lacrosse, and I don't know if you feel this too, but it's like there's kind of a shift that's happened in the last couple of weeks, right? I think at the beginning of the season, there was almost a predictability in a way. There was a stability where we're like, okay, Syracuse is leading the charge and, you know, they're going on this really great winning streak and have the strongest season start they've had thus far. And all these different things are happening. And then the more kind of traditional teams that we saw as like on and popping, you know, Boston College, North Carolina, they were having slow starts to their season, but there was a predictability. There was kind of a stability that we were going with and going with the flow.
Yeah, I think you made a good point of like the Boston College, UNC kind of having a slower start. And I think that kind of giving people a little bit of a surprise just because we've been so used to seeing them dominate this space for the past couple of years. But also at the same time, I think it was reasonable just because they had a lot of key players, Jamie Ortega, obviously Charlotte North leave. And so there's a lot of space for newcomers to kind of like fill that void, find out how they function together. So I think it was reasonable, but now we are, you know, not only well into the season, we're onto the next round of the season and they've clearly found their rhythm.
That they have. So today we got to witness, you know, we've seen the first round of the ACC championships and Duke and Virginia Tech got their wins. Looking at Virginia Tech, I think there's some excitement there, seeing them have maybe like a spark again. Ella Rischko, a freshman, had 7 goals, and Olivia Vergano had 4 goals for Virginia Tech in the win over Pitt. So I just love when players and teams start to pop off at that right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was, you know, a pretty impressive 18-6 win. I mean, they were able to have so many different attackers touch the ball, but also the fact that they were able to keep them scoreless for more than 20 minutes was pretty impressive. I mean, again, great showing. I don't feel like they'll be able to have quite the same outcome in this next round, but I definitely feel like they'll be carrying that momentum with them.
Ooh, I'm already spilling tea early. The podcast early tea. Okay, so let's maybe hit on some high notes of the craziest things that have happened so far. I think almost like a how we got here kind of situation is important to set the stage of why we think there's so much madness in the ACC. I can't talk about all of this and talk about ACC championship and all these things without talking about Boston College beating Syracuse.
Yeah. Upsetting. My biggest problem with that is that I was going to get tickets, right, to be there. I forgot. And then I'm like, shoot, it's Thursday. And it's also sold out. Understandable. I would have killed to have been in those stands. But that was, I honestly didn't see it coming.
I don't think anyone did. And Boston College had, it's not like they were having a bad season, right? They had, you know, they've had 3 losses coming into the ACCs. But we're used to that domination. We're used to Boston College being the name in lights and, you know, players being called out that are at BC and all these different things happening. And so when they had maybe a slower start to the season, I think a couple people maybe not necessarily wrote them off, but were not counting on them to be the ones that would beat Syracuse. And to put this all into perspective, Syracuse had a 15-game winning streak, like the strongest start to a season in program history. And then Boston College just came back from 6 goals down and did what they had to do.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just like a good reminder never to count anyone out. But it really kind of, this game like harkens back, I think, to not last season, but 2021, where I think, again, it was like the Boston College, Syracuse, UNC, and they like kept on, like, I think it was BC and SU kept on having that back and forth a bit. Mm-hmm. So I think kind of harking back to that, more of a, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Yeah, I guess more of a back and forth rather than it being expected, because I think this year going into it, everyone was like, LSU's, you know, has such a strong season that there's no way they're going to fall, even if Boston College is still such a good team.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely, definitely. And listen, Akacia Walker knows how to win. I tweeted this too. I said, if you see her start to pull on that trucker hat, if she pulls that trucker hat down and she's looking at the field intently, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for any team that they're playing against. Like, you're done. You're going home.
Oh, not the hat. So you, she's a telltale. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would be afraid. Like, I saw it happen. I said, well, here we go.
Right, but you'd be afraid. But I think also, too, there is confidence in also having Kayla Traynor and knowing that, like, she comes from that BC background as well. So it's like, yeah, the trucker hat may come down, but also she's dealing with a coach that also knows her tales.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. And mutual respect, too, right? Like, mm-hmm. Both are great players and great coaches in their own right. And I think that was what was so fun about the game is, like, you just know the coaching staffs themselves, right? You've got Kenzie Kent, you've got her mom on the other side, and you've got, you know, Sam Apuzzo, you've got all of these amazing coaches that are propping up their teams and putting their team's best foot forward to help them succeed. Like, that's just the perfect, perfect combination, right? Like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall between, you know, Jen Kent and Kenzie Kent talking about coaching against each other and all the different things that Kenzie picked up from her mom and, like, all the things that Jen is trying to instill in Kenzie. And it's just such a wonderful thing. So definitely something to highlight is, like, the coaching staffs were phenomenal on both teams.
Yeah. And I also don't think that I think it was such a special game, but I don't necessarily think you can walk away from that being like, oh, this gives me such a clear idea of, like, what's to come later down the road. Like, okay. I still think for both of those teams, if they are to meet again, it's still going to be a toss up.
Mm-hmm. It'll be messy. Absolutely. And another thing I wanted to mention was that BC had lost against North Carolina 16-5, right? So seeing them get past Syracuse was a huge eye opener. That was not something, again, that you'd want to expect to happen. And then this just kind of makes everything else murky because now we're like, well,
right.
What are we going to do? What's the tea?
The numbers are statistics are statisticing it, or maybe they're not, because if they were, then SU would have been on the winning end of that. But again, I think also too, because that UNC Boston College game, that was in the more towards the beginning of the season, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So now we're seeing, like, Boston College be at this point where it's like, okay, we've got it down. We know the plays. We know each other. Like, we know how to handle these teams. And I think they just kind of stumbled a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And something else too that I noticed about Boston College, and I think it's almost a difference that's across the board in all the teams in the ACC, is that there's not – Syracuse might be a little different, but there's not necessarily just one player that's going to hoist their team to the top of the pyramid, right? Like, when I think of Boston College, for example, we've got McKenna Davis, Kayla Martello, Jen Medjid, Bell Smith, Courtney and Cassidy Weeks. Like, the list goes on and on and on. Shea Dolce, right? When I think of North Carolina and the players that made that impact, right? Alyssa Long, Caitlin Wurzberger, Caroline Godine, like, there are multiple names that you can mention that are propping these teams up to win. And I think that's what it's going to take. It has to be a team effort. I just don't see a team winning ACCs or winning the national championship and it all coming from one person in the ACC, okay? Because I know there's Northwestern, there's so much going on there, but Northwestern's got their own dynamic duo as well. But yeah, I thought that was something really interesting, was all these teams that are kind of turning things around, they're doing so as a unit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really important point. And also, I think that's what makes this season so unique, and also a little bit, I don't want to say the phrase more fun, because I don't necessarily think it's more fun, but I think it's cool that you step into a game and you're really not sure who's going to be the breakout of that game, or if there's going to be a breakout star of that game, because so many players are touching the ball, so many players have a hand in the outcome. I think that's beautiful when you can't necessarily pick one person out of it to be like you said, yeah, like that's the person that's going to propel this forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, shifting our lens a little bit even closer to North Carolina. So reigning tournament champions, they've won the last six ACCs. So they are not about to pull up to this tournament without their foot on the gas. Like, I think there's probably a sense of pride. One, it's, you know, it's in their home state, but I think there's a sense of pride that comes with it, where you've won the last six and you're almost the expected heir apparent, right? Like, you're the one that's being expected. You won national championship last year. You're expected to perform at a certain level and you have to show up.
Yeah. I definitely think there's added pressure. Clearly they've handled it well over the last however many years. I mean, the last non-UNC team to win was Q's. So I guess if there is any team to beat them this year would be SU. But like you said, they've been here before. They're prepared. And I do definitely think there is a high chance that they'll still make it to the championship game, no matter like how they've had, how their season has gone this year.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing too, man, the co-regular season champions. I wonder if for Syracuse, that's like a, oh man, like we almost had it. Now we have to share the regular season title. And in my opinion, I think that, so obviously they won by two against North Carolina. That was a really close call. And then now go on to lose against Boston College by one. I think even though it's rough to get that loss, better to get that loss now in the regular
season. Out of the way.
Out of the way, exactly. So you know that what you need to focus on. And then I think when a team is number one at the top, and not that this happened to them, but I think there's a temptation to maybe feel either untouchable or to not necessarily remember that people are coming after you and they're clamoring to get where you are. And I think this was a really, really good reminder, even if they didn't have that mindset, which I'm sure they don't. They're a very competitive team. Their coaching staff stresses like take it game by game. But again, to always have that reminder that like people are coming for us and people want to be in our position.
Yeah, I mean, definitely in the situation, sharing is not caring. But I would say, you know, it's corny, whatever, but like losses build character. And I feel like there is something to say about like teams that have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I do think it makes you play harder. I think they're going to remember that thing. Like, you know, the BC loss, they're going to remember being like the co-champions, while also they're still probably celebrating that fact because it is a huge accomplishment. But it's like, no, I probably want to be the sole winner. And the ACC is like the clear thing to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it'll just kind of like add more grit to their game. Not that they need any more. They've had such an incredible season, but I definitely think it'll, like you said, best to get it out of the way and move forward. And I think they'll definitely, I think their first game in the tournament, they'll come out like hard. I think they're the first team, and we'll, you know, like you said, Tara, we'll get into it, but I think Virginia Tech will see a very different side of SU.
Yeah, definitely. And just calling out some players at Syracuse that have stood out. So Maddie Baxter, first of all, she glides when she runs, makes it look so easy to run up and down that field. Syracuse's field literally looks like it's 10 times bigger than any other.
Huge.
Ginormous, but such a rock star, like such a great player. And I'm so excited to continue seeing her development. Olivia Adamson, Syracuse, getting so lucky to get a draw control specialist. That this is her first season on the circle playing the draw, and has just absolutely crushed it. Mm-hmm. So I love it.
Yeah, and not even just the like specific players, but just like the team as a whole. I think it's been beautiful just to watch, and particularly just their transitions this year. I think, you know, like you mentioned, they run fast, they maintain space, they're able to connect beautifully. And I think it's just exciting to watch all of them. I mean, the Tyrells, you know, Ward, Megan Carney, obviously we, you know those names, but I do definitely think they are like coming into their like era this season. Wow. And it's been really nice to watch it beautifully just glow for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I still, you know, it still hurt to see Boston College snatch away the lunch money, get that ACC tournament top seed. Hurt my feelings as a Syracuse fan, as a Kayla Traynor fan. But, you know, again, we've had so much luck in the last couple of weeks with phenomenal games. And I'm really just happy to continue getting to see all this take place.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole week, it's going to be really exciting to kind of see the whole season like culminate and then like be like, oh, okay, well, like, what does this mean for, you know, the NCAAs? Like, what is this going to tell us? Granted, you know, I'm bad at predictions anyway, so I try to stay away.
We do not have
as we're about to make predictions.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to reach into our bag, grab our crystal balls, and then we're going to tell you the future. So, let us look at the quarterfinals. Dun, dun, dun. Starting off, Boston College versus Duke. Mari, what are you thinking?
I don't want to be like, it's going to go to Boston College, but like, I feel like Boston College will come out with the win, just mm-hmm. not even just based off of their SC performance, but clearly that's the thing that we can, the nearest thing we can go off. I mean, they've won the last 7 games of the regular season, and the momentum really is in their corner.
Yeah.
There's players like Andrea Reynolds and Ryan Smith who are bound to give Duke trouble on the draw, even though I know they have like Maddie Jenner, but, and then they also have Hunter Roman and Sydney Scales on defense. And again, they'll just really be, give Duke a hard time in transitions and movement around the goal. So I think Boston College will come out with the win. I mean, however, there is a chance that Duke could take it if we're going not to be like back to like records and stuff, but they did come with 1 goal of UNC. So that is something to note as well.
Yeah, which is crazy. I have a whole spiel for that too. But yeah, I mean, Duke is 8-9. And so looking at their record, it doesn't necessarily seem like this is the team that would go to beat Boston College, and especially with Boston College momentum. But it's ACCs. People know it's time to turn it up, like find that extra gear that you have. This game is a challenge for them. It's a bit of a grind, but it's not impossible. And I think something else to note too. So, you know, Duke played Louisville in the regular season, lost to them. They beat them in this ACC first round. And so they're, you know, also having a little bit of momentum with them and a bit more confidence. And Maddie Jenner, Lexi Smalls, like having those hat tricks. So a team effort to get that win. I think that if they continue with that, coming together as a team and really taking care of the ball, and like you said, slowing down Boston College in the midfield, being smart on defense, there's some opportunity there. But I think Boston College has the edge. Definitely. All right. So game two, we've got UVA versus Notre Dame. So UVA 11-5 right now, heading into the quarterfinals, but they beat Notre Dame 16-13 in the regular season. So they know how to play. With that said, we got to shout out our girl, Jackie Wolak. Dangerous, like in capital letters. She had 6 goals in that regular season game for Notre Dame and is just a phenomenal player. Then you mix in Ahern, just mixing in like all the other offensive threats that they have at Notre Dame. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know Virginia had that win, but I even have it laid down in my notes because I have Notre Dame coming in with the win to make it into the semifinals. But I mean, just between like Choma, Ahern, Wolak, they are responsible for 216 points altogether. I just feel like they're such a force that And us, I think because of the loss too to Virginia, I think they know that they're going to have to pull it out for this one. But I'm confident that they'll win.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And on the Virginia side, Rachel Clark on the attack, a name that comes up often because of how consistently great she is, had 5 goals for UVA in that regular season win. And, you know, when I was looking at the stats for this game, Virginia, like, just barely edged out Notre Dame on the draw controls. But for the most part, the game itself was really balanced. I think where it came down to was on the shots on goal. I want to say Notre Dame had 20 shots on goal. Virginia had 25. And so that seems to be a little bit of the difference maker, is taking smart shots, taking care of the ball. We all know it's not just about possession. It's about being smart with it and doing what you need to do once you get the ball.
Yeah. Also, but like, it makes me think too, like, my lacrosse coach used to say, I mean, granted, yes, smart shots are the best, but it was even like, even when you're down, like, you still have to shoot. Like, you can't be afraid to shoot. So just getting them off when you can is super important. So like you said, yeah, that's probably definitely what propelled Virginia forward with that one.
Definitely, definitely. All right, next up, Syracuse versus Virginia Tech. The Orange had a really big win, 16-5 against Tech in the regular season. But I will say, as we now know, there are no easy games, right? That's kind of the fun part. An opportunity, though, for Virginia Tech to show what they're made of and show just how much they've grown throughout this season. I think that now that it's obvious that Syracuse is not necessarily untouchable, maybe teams feel a little bit better going into those games, but the Orange are probably really amped up and want to show once again why they were on that 15-game winning streak. So, you know, they're going to be led by Megan Tyrell, who is now the all-time points leader at Syracuse for that program. Absolutely insanity, like, just phenomenal.
I feel like she just, like, not to say she snuck up on that record, but like, I feel like I didn't know what was happening until like it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Quiet confidence.
Yes.
She's getting it done. Okay. Yes. She said, I'm clocking in. I'm doing my job and above and beyond. And then you'll see me as employee of the month.
Yes. Give me my award.
Silent attack. Yeah. A little bit of a silent attack. But again, you know, it's looking at the regular season. It wasn't the outcome Virginia Tech wanted, but I'm hoping, you know, that they're able to just put a couple more things together and put up a fight in this game.
Yeah, and I think it'll really just come down to, I don't think SU will give them a lot of opportunities. So when they get them, it's just about seizing them. Yeah. SU is just really, really tight on defense. You know, they're quick on offense. They just, not even just smart shots, but just like skilled and impressive the way they were able to handle the ball, move it. So I definitely think that Virginia Tech will have to just like elevate a little bit more, but I think it'll be a good game no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you want to win in this conference, you want to be the best of the best in this conference, you got to play against the best and you got to put on a show against the best. You know, Olivia Vergano, she's leading the Virginia Tech offense right now. She had 2 goals in that last matchup. Blair Guy, 2 goals as well. You know, those are 2 players that Tech is going to be looking at as, okay, like, we need y'all to step up. We need you to put up some numbers. But again, that's the fun part. That's like the really, really fun part of it all.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. And then next up, North Carolina, your alma mater versus Clemson.
Yes. I don't want to say like, be too quick with it, because I feel like that's like rude. But I just think based off of the history, and maybe that is really the thing. I just think this is Clemson's first season. This is their first showing in the ACC tournament. I think they'll show up and they'll make a lot of noise. I mean, they have players like Ella Little, who has 104 draws, Hannah Hillcoff with 61 points, and Gianna New with 63 points. So they have a lot of people who have shown up this season and made a name for themselves. But I just think the history and the legacy of North Carolina and this team in particular with their players is going to come out on top.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think on the Clemson side, I just want to go with them as my pick. I think that, well, for one, Clemson beat Duke 11-10, huge win. Right. North Carolina be due just by one goal in this, in their regular season matchup most recently. And so that's where it gets so interesting is
good point.
What story can the stats tell us? But then again, when Clemson played UNC in the regular season, right, they lost. It was 17-8. And so it kind of almost, we like leave it up to fate and just say, we'll see what happens. But at the same time, Clemson has an edge. They just have to find it early in the game.
Yeah. And also just, I feel like so much of it, I don't know, like when I think back to playing, it just like, it's just something about the day itself. Like, I don't think you can like know for sure when you step on that field, or maybe you do, I don't know. But I feel like so much of it has to do with like the energy of the team that day, what's going on. So I think it'll really come down to like who got up that morning and felt it.
Yep. Absolutely. Makes sense. Okay. So Amari, it is now time for dun, dun, dun.
I was just saying that in my head.
Listen, great minds think alike. They do. We're going to fast forward to the final.
Ooh.
Who's going to be in the final? And then who is going to win the ACC championship? And I had to pull up the bracket. I'm actually going to, you probably already have it pulled up, but sometimes I forget how these directions go. And then I just start saying things. So I'm going to make sure. Like, oh, yeah. No, yeah, it's definitely. And you're like, no, they played. Or like, that's not how it's going to work. Yeah, I would love to hear who you think is going to be in that final and then how it's going to go.
Okay. I have like, at first I had it really clearly. My prediction was SU versus Boston College. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, or UNC versus Boston College.
Yes, that was going to be mine too.
Yeah, I feel like I have Boston College in there for sure. I feel confident about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the SU North Carolina. Like, I have them in the semifinals, and I'm just really not sure.
Yeah,
who would win? To be honest, like every part of me wants to say SU, but like, I don't know.
who stamped that degree, Amari? Who stamped that? No. Syracuse.
Take it back, UNC.
Oh man. No, I'm completely with you. That's exactly what I was thinking as well. It's like Boston College, North Carolina would be an equally entertaining game. And I think it would have a different flair. And especially them being teams that we know are really, really good, but maybe hadn't been getting all of the attention thus far, especially because a lot of chatter about the age of players or the experience, or I would say those two teams are the ones that lost the most to graduation, but have showcased so much of the talent of next woman up mentality, or next on the bench, who's up, who's ready to go.
Yeah.
But Syracuse, I just want them to go all the way with this. Like a 15-game winning streak, best program start to date. They're just clicking so well that I want them to have all of the success, but no one is going to make it easy for them. If they go against Boston College, like, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a fight till the end. We'll probably see it in overtime.
Can you imagine an ACC? I would love that in overtime.
Oh, Amari. I can only handle so much. I am a gentle little flower babe, and I cannot handle the stress of ACC. I can't even handle the stress of regular season overtime.
Like, fair.
I'm on my couch just hiding under blankets, breathing as if I'm on the field playing. It would make for fantastic television and also show the grit. I think, yeah, that's almost the prediction I have, is that no matter who's going to be there, the amount of grit is going to be off the charts.
No, 100%. Like you said, I think either outcome would be fun to watch. I do, but just based off of how that last game with SU and Boston College went, I really do want a rematch. Like, I want to see them go toe-to-toe again and like see how that'll play out. And like, yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because it's like, I feel like in past years, particularly with like UNC and like getting to the NCAA finals and like winning, we talked a lot about like a Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that also feels like what's happening this year with SU. It's just like everything is connected and come together, and it would just be such a beautiful ending to this, well, semi-ending to the season before they go into the next phase. And I do think it would be, I say this not just as like a person from Syracuse with like, I don't even know if I have a lot of hometown spirit, but it's growing. But I would say it would be very disappointing. I think I would be sad for the players to see them not be like, not win the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. They put in so much work. They work together. They play well together. And there's a lot of legacy riding on it too. So yeah. Okay. So is Syracuse your final pick for ACC champions?
Okay. I'm just going to go. Yeah. Cause I'm going with my heart. Yeah. You know? So I would say SU.
If you're going to go with your heart, what's my heart telling me? Because I could follow suit and also say the orange. I could follow suit and also say the orange, but I'm going to go with North Carolina. I'm going to go with North Carolina, no matter who. I just see, because I'm with you on that being the semifinal matchup. And I think because they were so close in that regular season game, just two goals away. And now knowing that Syracuse is not completely unstoppable, like they're still 99% difficult to beat, that 1% can be taken into account. And then if they face up against Boston College, I think the confidence boost, both teams are going to have a really, really strong confidence boost from having played well against Syracuse. And that's going to be a battle in itself and almost a battle of like continuing legacy and proving that just because they're younger, just because they graduated certain players doesn't mean that these teams have lost their edge. So that's kind of what's riding at stake for both teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I respect that. I respect it. I may not agree, but I respect it.
That's all I ask. I'm not asking for too much. But no, I no matter who goes into the semifinals, who goes to the finals, we are just watching an absolutely insane season continue to unfold. And whoever wins ACC championship will have absolutely deserved it. There is nothing easy about any of this. And I think that's something as a fan, I try to remember as well, is like, this is the hardest conference in lacrosse. This is the hardest conference. And these players are doing their absolute best day in, day out, regardless of what a record looks like, whether, you know, a team is above 70% or below 50% or whatever, they are playing up against crazy competition and still upholding a great legacy for each of their programs.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's funny, I feel like each year we're like, oh my God, this is like the top level of like lacrosse. Like, how can we get any better? And it just like keeps on growing and the game just keeps on getting better and tighter. And these players just keep on showing just tremendous skill. I mean, I don't know about you, but like I never watched as much lacrosse when I was actually playing, and I feel like it's so fun to just be away from it, but just to watch it as a spectator and just truly enjoy it. And these players just make it so fun, and so it's just, I think this whole season and just the whole past few years has just been really impressive and amazing to watch. So
yeah, I would love to sit here and lie and say I was not watching very much lacrosse, but I'm in the mood for this game. I love it. I love to watch. It's very calming for me. But no, I do think I watch with a different lens and I enjoy it even more. It's like less stressful because I'm just enjoying it, getting to just watch as a fan and a spectator. So no, I think it's going to be a great tournament, and how lucky are we that we get to witness it all unfold?
Yeah.
Yay. Awesome. Well, Mari, thank you so much for joining me in literally step-by-step breaking down the ACC tournament and who we think is going to win the championship. I am so pumped. I can't wait to hear what other people think, what their opinions are. And then, yeah, just get to chill out and watch these games. I'm getting lots of snacks. I have my little snack list ready. And I will be aggressively tweeting through every single game at Official Lax Girl. Don't forget to follow me if you don't already. But yes, Amari, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning in.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.